Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And today on our program, we're talking about palabras. Palabras means words. You know, those things that we string together to make sentences and hopefully express ideas. Now, here in our Latino USA newsroom, we mostly speak English with each other during our workday. But most of our staff is also bilingual, so we end up mixing in a bunch of Spanish too. And sometimes the words that we use actually aren't just English or Spanish, but a mix between the two, you know, Spanglish.
Oh, that was a great.
So we start today's show in our conference room, where we gathered the entire Latino USA staff to talk a little bit more about how we talk.
Maria, you've been obsessed with doing this Palabra show. Like, what's up? Why are you so obsessed with it?
Well, first of all, as a writer and as a journalist, I love words. But when you grow up bilingually, there's something that happens where words can be really funny. So I knew I wanted to do an entire show about palabras. But the thing that kind of cemented it for me was actually a story, because I love the stories that come with the words. So one day I was coming here to the office, and the gentleman who does some of the cleaning in Spanish, he said, when I have to clean something, he said, cuando tengo que limpiar, simplemente uso el purpú. When I have to clean something, I just use the purpú. And I was like, the purpú? What's that? And he pulled out a spray can, and it said, all-purpose cleaner. And I was like, yeah, it's all-purpose that has now become purpú. And that's just one of many, many, many very funny stories.
So in even talking about this show, we made up a word to talk about, like, fusing of words in different languages, right, Camilo?
Yeah. Transwording. It's basically
which we love that word.
It's basically when you're talking in one language and you take the word from the other language and you use it in the language that you're actually talking in. So in Bogota, for example, we'll usually take a word from English, like, oh, manes, for example.
Manes?
So like the word for dude in Bogota is man.
Un man.
So one man
is
several manes.
And that kind of brings us to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, where it's not just about bringing Spanish words into an English context. But, for example, back in Argentina, there's all these English words that people use, right, Antonia?
Yeah, words that they would never use in that way here, like, estuvimos a full, like, you were doing something to the most of your ability. Like, you'd never be like, I was to full yesterday, or like, eso es re top, which is like, that's super top, but as like something like cool or awesome, you know?
So the other one was that I remember, like, my mom, you know, we would really laugh at her when she said something like, niños, be quiense, you know, shut up and say. And we just thought that was hilarious. And I mean, to me, that actually is like a transwordeo. What, and Nancy, what about you? In your family, are there transwordeos?
You know, actually, no. We grew up very purist. It was English in school, Spanish at home. And if we ever mix both of those up, she'd say, are you speaking English or Spanish?
How do you feel about Spanglish?
I honestly hate it.
What?
Hear me out. So my godson is going to be 8 years old, right? But when you communicate with him, he can't communicate with you in a solid language. So he can't dominate the Spanish. He can't dominate the English. So it's like...
It worries you.
It worries me a lot because I just think about him, like, you know, being older and, like, interviewing for a job or something.
I'm kind of like, I totally get your concern, but I'm going to flip it on you, which is, what if in 20 years from now when he's going on job interviews, actually this flipping of language is chévere, like, for your job interview?
No, totally.
I mean, maybe, right? I don't know.
So we actually did a call out to our listeners and asked them to send their own favorite examples of transwording.
Aquí vamos!
Hi, my name is Arturo Garcia Sierra, and I am from the Tijuana, San Diego region. My friends and I often use the terms chileando or hangoutear to say that we want to, well, hang out.
So this one kind of is fascinating to me because that was your example, Camilo. We got several submissions about hangoutear and hangiar.
Well, every country or little region has its own word for hangout,
yeah.
Right? So in Bogota, for example, it's parchar. But if you say parchar to someone from Peru, they'll be like, what the hell is that?
That sounds really weird. That sounds boring, frankly. Yeah.
Let's move on to the next one.
My name is Eliza Collison. Currently, I'm living abroad in Managua, Nicaragua. Like many countries in Latin America, Nicaragua uses a lot of Spanglish. However, my favorite word is ray, as in ride, giving someone a ride in your car. It's used on many occasions, such as,
hola, ¿podría darme ray al super?
Hey, can you give me a ride to the supermarket? So, wherever I go in Nicaragua, I will be sure to ask for a ride.
The fact that she turned that into a 45-second radio piece is really amazing.
Okay, we have one last example.
Hello, my name is Catherine Perez, and two Spanglish words that we use in Miami a lot are chanks and cheese. Chanks, as you could probably imagine, is just short for chancletas or flip-flops, and then cheese is short for chisme or gossip. You know, it's really common to say, hey, come over here. I have some cheese for you.
Those two were, like, amazing.
Yeah, really amazing.
Chanks?
Chanks is
No. Chanks? But the cheese. Oh, my God. Ven acá que te tengo un cheese. I love that.
I know. We got to use it.
So, janguear, shut up and say, manes, chanks, cheese. Look, there's no doubt that the Latino experience makes for some pretty colorful linguistic creations. But what does all of this transwording mean? And where is it taking us? Well, to find out, we dialed up Ilan Stavans, who's a professor at Amherst College, and the author of A Spanglish Dictionary. It's titled Spanglish, The Making of a New American Language. Welcome back to Latino USA, Ilan.
Hola.
I have to tell you, Ilan, the first thing that I'm confused about is there, in fact, a purist definition of Spanglish?
Well, the question is already provocative. A purist definition assumes that languages are static, but the truth is, Maria, that no such languages exist unless they are dead. But a language that is alive and well needs to be borrowing and needs to be lending all the time. The truth is, every language, every standardized language, Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, has gone through a process very similar to Spanglish, in which it was looked down at as unworthy, and eventually it acquired this level of reputation and embrace, and it became standard. Well, maybe Spanglish will become standard one day, I don't know, in 50 years, in 100 years. I'm hoping that it will never have a Royal Academy of the Spanglish language that legislates what is accepted and rejected, because the beauty of Spanglish for me is that precisely it benefits from the improvisational movements that we are all doing as we use it. And Spanglish is the best manifestation that we have of what Latino culture, Latino civilization is all about, that is borrowing from Anglo-United States cultures and borrowing from all our Latin American heritage and doing it in a way that is truly mestizo.
I love the fact that you talk about if there ever was a Royal Academy of Spanglish.
Please, no.
La verdad es que, a ver, cuéntame una cosa, because like right there, you and I, inmediatamente podemos entrar a una onda hablando español.
Claro.
Now we can switch and we're speaking English. But that is not the definition of Spanglish, right?
I would say, Maria, that in order to be in the Spanglish state of mind, three things need to happen. One is you probably will be engaging in code switching, exactly what you described as this empezar en español, poder comunicarse bien, y después to switch in English and be comfortable in this other language, ir de ida and back constantemente. The second thing you need is also to think in one language and to communicate in the other. I can tell you things only in Spanish, por ejemplo, te llamo para atrás. It actually means I'll call you back. But you're translating from the English, you're thinking in one language, and the words come out in the other. And the third thing, Maria, would be to really come up with new terms. For instance, liquear instead of está goteando, or...
Oh, okay, so people who may not speak Spanish, so liquear, which means that there is a leak, but there is no word liquear in Spanish. It is gotear.
Gotear.
Right.
There are words that by sheer usage eventually make it into a standardized, recognized form and displace other words. And that is the normal pattern of all languages. There are words that sound archaic and words that sound new and words that constantly change meanings.
So if somebody's last name is Jimenez, when somebody says, my last name is Jimenez, what goes on for you then? Is that Spanglish, or is that destroying a Spanish language word forever?
I don't believe that words are destroyed. I believe that words mutate, get transformed.
But how do you feel about that? I'm asking you how you feel.
I'll tell you how I feel. My reaction is not of displeasure and of allergy. My reaction is this is what assimilation is. And that is what this type of a linguistic territory is all about. We have, at the end of the 19th century, in the biggest poet in Latin America, Rubén Darío from Nicaragua, wrote a beautiful poem called Los Cisnes, The Swans, in which he asks if in the future the vast majority of Latin Americans would switch to English. This can tell you, Maria, already the kind of anxiety that was existing at that time. Today, we have the largest concentration of Latinos in the Hispanics in the United States. I would say we have another republic of the many republics that exist in Latin America. And we have our own language, which is this mestizo tongue that is Spanglish that defines us and gives us an identity.
Ilan Stavans, thank you so much for joining us. Muchísimas gracias, Ilan.
Muchísimas gracias a ti, and thank you.